Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Bonnie Gregory, and I pray today that you're having a wonderful day in the Lord and that God's blessings are resting upon you. God is so good to us that we need to count our blessings. There's an old hymn I love. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God hath done. Unthankful people are very miserable people because they can't see any good thing that's happened to them. Today I pray that you'll look around and count your blessings. And if you can just get out of bed and get around, or if you can see, if you can move about, you're blessed. God's good to us and we need to thank Him for it. Today I want to talk to you about Lest We Forget. That's the title of my message today. And I know that God's Word will encourage your heart if you'll just stay tuned. But first I'd like to pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you reach down by your mighty hand of mercy and grace, touch the hearts of your people. And I pray, Lord, that you reach down, Lord, and just bring encouragement, Lord, and bring hope to the hearts. Lord, we live in such a time, a perilous time that we're in. But we know that your word said that when we see these things happen and all the accounts that are coming together through prophecy, for us to look up because our redemption draweth nigh. And like Job, we can say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Oh, bless his holy name. Today we honor you and we glorify your name, Lord, and ask that you bring revival to our hearts. Let it begin even now. Forgive us of all sin and iniquity in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, and help us to do that which you called us to do. Make it real to the people and let them know that the only way into you, God the Father, is through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus who died on the cross. Shed his blood to cleanse us from all sin and iniquity. Help us to receive the greatest gift ever given, and that's the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you can, or you can make note of this, I want to read out of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. And this is Moses speaking to the people and giving them instruction. Verse 9, he said, only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest I forget the things which thy eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, in this portion of Scripture, Moses is telling his people, don't forget. Don't forget what you've seen. Don't forget how God has delivered you. Don't forget what mighty miracles He's worked. Don't forget how he brought you out of Egypt. Don't forget what he did to bring you out into and give you the land that he's promised you. Don't forget. And that's our problem today. We forget what God has done. We forget who founded this country and why God has made America great. Man didn't make it great. God did. Don't forget what God has done. In the time of Passover, the Israelites, and they would come together, and during Passover time, there would be four cups that would be partaken of during Passover. The first cup and the names of them is in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. The first cup is called the cup of sanctification. And that's saying that God has bought us out. When he sanctified means to be set apart. And that's what we need to realize today. God has bought us out of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're not to be partakers of the things of the world. We can't compromise and we can't be partakers in the evil that's going on. We've got to live a separated life. You can't live both lives. You've got to choose that which you, and you've already chosen one way or the other. The second cup is called the cup of remembrance. And with that, they would take a white plate and they would drop 10 drops of juice or wine in the plate. And with each one, they would call out the plagues that God sent on Egypt to deliver them when he turned the waters into blood. For the frogs came, the lice, the flies, the boils, the hails, the plagues, the locusts, the darkness, and then the death angel that come across Egypt that night and God's people were delivered. And I want you to realize this one thing. Of all the 9 plagues, there were 10 plagues in all, but all 9 plagues, they were still in bondage. But when the blood was put on the doorpost, when the blood was applied, then deliverance came. That's the same message for you and for me today. When the blood is applied, deliverance will come. The third cup that they would celebrate with is called the cup of redemption. And from that cup, we get our Passover cup. And then the fourth cup is called the cup of rejoicing. When you realize that you've been set apart for the glory of God, when you realize what he's done for you and you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, nobody's going to have to beg you to rejoice. I get concerned when I go into services and you have to prompt and beg people to praise the Lord and try to get them to give honor and glory to him. That should be automatic when we remember what God has done for us. But today, as I bring this broadcast, my husband and I want to tell you, my husband and I spent 36 years in truck stops going across the United States preaching to truck drivers and anybody and everybody that come through the truck stops. And we spent the majority of our life in those truck stops until the Lord took my husband home in 2011. And I want you to know I've seen great and mighty miracles of the years, still seeing miracles, but those years on the road were awesome. And I don't want to ever forget the miracles and the things that no matter how many times I tell the stories over and over, it still blesses my heart and encourages me because I know what an awesome and it reminds me what a mighty God we serve. One of the very first great miracles and the greatest miracle ever is salvation. When I married my husband, he was not a Christian. He was far from it. You couldn't hardly get him to go to church at all. And then if he did go, he'd come back and find fault with everybody and everything. And one night we were at the house and it was late at night. It was about 9 o'clock and there came a knock on the door. And my husband looked at me and said, "Wonder who that is?" And he slung the door open and it flew open and it was a man that we'd never seen, didn't know him. He was standing at the foot of our steps. And my husband said, "What do you want?" And that man looked up at my husband and said, "I want to tell you about Jesus." And when that man said that, I thought, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. Because I know my husband's going to run him off because he's not into that. And I thought, I just kind of held my breath. And to my astonishment, my husband looked at that man and said, "Well, come on in. I want to hear what you got to say." And within 30 minutes, that man had led my husband to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had knelt down beside our couch and gave his heart to the Lord. And from that night to the day God took him home, he was never the same. His whole heart's desire was to preach the gospel, to do the will of God. So many times I think about that man who we did never know and never met him since, how he took his time to go door to door telling people about Jesus. I'm so glad that one night late a man come to our door and told us about Jesus. That man has no idea what he done. And all the souls, the many souls that were saved in our ministry while being on the road and is still being saved through the ministry that's going on. That man will share in the glory, and that man will share in the reward of all the souls that's been saved because he went out and he told somebody about Jesus. The greatest miracle ever told. I think about that so much, how that my husband couldn't be reached in church, but a man coming late one night, God touched his heart. God touched his heart, and he received Christ as his Lord and Savior. And his desire was to preach the word of God to the day he died, and that's exactly what he done. And then I think about the awesome people that we've met over the years and the experiences that we've had in the truck stops. We had left, getting ready to leave a truck stop in Amarillo, Texas. And a friend of ours that run a rescue mission come by before we left and bought us all kind of food for the chapel. Just boxes of non-perishable food, wonderful stuff. And they filled our chapel, the aisles and in between the seats were full of food. And just wonderful things. And I told my husband, I said, "This is good, but where in the world are we going to put all this? What are we going to do with all this food? We can't even walk in the chapel. We don't even have room enough to contain it." And then as we was getting ready to pull out, a friend of ours blew her horn and stopped us. And she had two or three big garbage bags full of sweaters and coats. She said, "The Lord laid it on my heart to bring this, that you're going to need them on the road for your ministry." And so we put them in there with all the food. And I told my husband, I said, "Now what are we going to do? We surely don't have room to move now." And we went on down the road and we came to a truck stop in Santa Rosa, New Mexico. And we pulled in. It was getting real late in the evening and we were tired and we were just going to lay down and rest and start up again the next day. And as we shut the door, a knock came on our chapel door. And when I opened the door and I looked out, I saw a sight that I'll never forget. There was an old station wagon some men were in, and in the back seat was a man that, when I looked at him, the look of desperation and the look of so being weary and tired was all over him, and he was just kind of sitting back in this old station wagon, just kind of slumped down. And we went out, and come to find out he was a pastor in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And him and his church people had come out west on a church bus. And their bus had broke down some ways down, good ways from the truck stop. And they broke down in front of a service station and a little cafe. And the cafe and the service station closed up and wouldn't serve them because they were black. And they pulled their money together, and they went and walked up the road, and they found this place and bought an old station wagon to go around. The transmission had come out of their bus, and they couldn't get down the road. They were stranded. They didn't have nothing to eat, and it was getting cold. It was getting nighttime. They had children on that bus. They was in a bad fix. And he come up to our door, and he said, "We come through the truck stop looking for help, and we didn't see anybody, and we were getting ready to come out on the road, and God spoke to me and said, go through one more time." And in that meantime, we had pulled in, and on the side of our truck, we had Trucking for Jesus. He said, "I saw the name of Jesus on the side of the truck, and I thought, there's hope there for us." And we went down, and what we did, we began to talk to him and talk to him about his situation. It just so happened that we knew a man in that town that had a junkyard, and we contacted him, and he had the transmission that this pastor and these men needed to fix their bus. And we also was blessed with the finances to give them so they could get that transmission fixed. But this is what's so astounding. Before that bus even broke down, before those people even got in a place where they couldn't get nothing to eat and they were getting cold because all they had was just their dress clothes with them, God had loaded up the chapel. God had loaded it up with food and supplies. God had loaded it up with coats and sweaters for his children. And it had it ready to give to them in their hour of need. I want you to know today, the God that we serve loads us with benefits to bless others and to be a blessing. And I don't care what you're going through. God knows what you're going through before even you get there and before you go through it. God will see you through. It may seem like all odds are against you, but stand faithful. Don't worry about it. Just trust in God. God will work it out for you, lest you forget. So many times I go over and over and I see that pastor's face. And then when we were able to load that car up and to give them all the supplies and give them something to eat and bless them with something to drink and get them help and get them back home safely, God had everything planned. Others might have shunned them. Others might have turned their backs on them. But God will never turn his back on you, and God will bring you through. God knows about it before you even go through. Don't lose hope. Hold on. The answer is on the way. And I think about a similar thing that happened. A young man, we were at a truck stop in Whitfield, Virginia, a TA truck stop, and the truck stop's kind of on a hill. And we were standing at the back of our mobile chapel, and down on the freeway, this young man, his riders kicked him out of the car because he was causing trouble. Kicked him out, and he climbed up that hill and come up into the truck stop and come over to where we were standing and told us what had happened. And he got kicked out of the car, and he didn't have no money, didn't know what he was going to do. And my husband said, "Well, let me pray for you. Let me pray that God will help you." So he laid hands on him and prayed for him. And the man just walked away. The young man walked away, and he went to the edge of the truck stop, and there was an old shirt laying in the dirt. And he kicked that shirt as he walked by. And two $20 bills come out of that pocket of that shirt. And that young man picked that money up and come back to my husband and said, "Look, look what I had. Look what happened. Look." And he had enough money to get a motel room at the truck stop, which if he could afford, and then something to eat until his friends or somebody could come get in the next morning. And the next morning before he left, he come back to the chapel. and to give his heart and his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was no accident that he got kicked out where he got kicked out. It was no accident that the shirt was laying in the dirt. It was no accident the provisions was inside that pocket. It was no accident the chapel was there to give the message of salvation. If you could only realize how important you are to God. If you could only realize this is no accident that you're here and that Jesus loves you and he wants to save your soul and he wants to bring you unto salvation and he wants to deliver you. It's no accident. It's no accident. You gotta know that it's God's will that you hear this word. He wants to encourage your heart. He wants you to know that nothing's happening in your life, that if you'll let him have control of it, he can take care of it. He can bless you. He can intervene for you. And I think about all the many, many wonderful things that happened. And I think about all the wonderful things, how God protected us and kept us safe. And we were with our mobile chapel in a truck stop, and it was a pilot truck stop. It's still there in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And that night that was at the truck stop, the sirens went off, and it was a tornado warning. It was getting ready to come through Tuscaloosa. And all the truck drivers and everybody was running to the truck stop. And we began to make our way across the parking lot, going into the truck stop and try to find some safety. And I turned to my husband and I said, no, I'm not going in the truck stop. If I go out of this world, I don't want to go in a truck stop. I'm going back to the chapel. And if the Lord takes us home, it's going to be in our mobile chapel. We got in that chapel and we sat down and we began to pray. And all of a sudden we could hear that sound like a freight train, and that tornado was coming straight for us. And we could feel the wind and that suction going up under our chapel, and we felt the wheels coming up off the ground. The tractor and trailer was actually lifting up off of the ground. And as we prayed and asked God to give us divine protection, all of a sudden it set right back down, and that tornado jumped over and went on down the road, and this went on and didn't hurt anything else. God made it to go away. God protected us. I'm telling you, God can keep you from the storm. God can detour you around the storm. You may have to go through the storm, but whatever, God will deliver you and God will bring you out. God will set you free. You just got to know that God knows where you're at. You got to depend upon him and let him lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He may toil all night, but he knows what side to tell you to launch out into the deep. God will lead you and guide you. Truck driver came one day and he asked us, did we like soup? We told him, yeah, we love soup. He said, well, I got some cases that was left over. I want to bring them to you. That truck driver bought in 16 cases of soup. We put soup everywhere in our chapel. And we were telling a lady at a church that we ministered in how God had given us 16 cases of soup. And that night she bought us 9 boxes of crackers. And what I'm telling you, congregation, ever who you are, God can send the soup and he'll send the crackers. God can cause a storm to set you back down. God can cause a shirt to lay on the side. God's got provision for you. You just got to know. You got to can't forget who he is. Don't forget the blessings that he has given you. Don't forget how good God is. Don't forget, God is good. God is a mighty God. God is a wonderful God. I think about so many times about a young man that we met in a truck stop. And he was working around helping truck drivers unload their trucks. And he was drinking real heavy. He was an alcoholic. And he come up and talked to my husband and he said, I'm from Odessa, Texas, and my name is Jim. He said, I left home because my mom and daddy are Christians. And he said, I can't do nothing about my drinking, and I know I'm tearing their hearts out. I had to leave. I couldn't stand to see them suffer, watching me be drunk all the time. My husband tried to get him to come into the chapel so he could talk to him. And Jim said, no, I can't come in. I'm just not fit to come in. And my husband told him, said, no, you're welcome in the house of God, no matter what state you're in. He said, no, I can't do it. And he wouldn't come in. For 2 or 3 days, he talked to my husband on the outside, but he'd never come in the chapel. And the morning we left the truck stop, my husband looked for Jim, and he found him in the trucker's lounge on the floor asleep. And he reached over top of him and shook him and woke him up and said, Jim, I'm going to be praying for you. And Jim told my husband, he said, if you ever get a letter from me from Odessa, Texas, you know that I'm all right and I got straight with the Lord and I'm off of this alcohol. And my husband said, okay. Years passed and we never saw Jim or heard from him. And one day I went to the post office and I got out a postcard. And on that postcard, the front of it had Odessa, Texas on the front of it. It had a picture of oil wells on the front of it. And I flipped it over, and all was on the back was this word across the side, said Jim. We knew Jim had made it home. He made it safe, and he'd give his heart to the Lord. So many times we sow seeds, and we don't see an instant increase. But we have to remind ourselves that some sow, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. We can never forget that. You be faithful to tell people about Jesus. You be faithful to love them no matter what condition they in. Jim was drinking when we met him, but we still told him about Jesus. We still loved him and treated him with respect. Still prayed for him and rejoiced when we got the letter. Oh, it may be some time before you get that note in the mail or get that phone call. But I'm telling you, be faithful. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget how God has blessed you. There was a woman in the community, her and her family, was noted for being rough and rowdy, and that's putting it very mildly. And the church up the street was having a revival, and they were going door to door down this road. And when they came to this house, they were debating whether they should go in or not, or invite them because of the condition these people were in. And when they said, okay, we'll go, and they knocked on the door, and the woman of the house opened the door, and they said, we're having a revival at our church. It's going to start tomorrow night. We want to invite you to come to church. And they was expecting her to say something kind of harsh and probably slam the door in their faces. But she looked at them and said, you know what? I just bought a brand new pair of red shoes, and I think I'll be there. And they said the next night, when revival started, this woman come in with her red shoes on. And when the altar call was given, she walked down the aisle, and she gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. She come every night of the revival and stood faithful in the Word of God. And they said some days passed, and nobody seen her or heard from her. And they walked in to check on her, and she was slumped over the bed. She had went home to be with Jesus. And there by her hand on the bed was her red shoes. You never know when someone has bought the red shoes. You never know when that one you had judged and said, no, they won't hear me. You don't know the heart. God had touched her heart before they got there. They gave the invitation and she received it. None of us are promised a tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to give your heart to Jesus. And on this broadcast that I'm on, I could go on for hour after hour after hour after hour telling you of the things and experiences that we've had and seen and witnessed. Not things we read about, but things we witnessed and things we experienced. The miracle hand of God. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you. You can sum the Bible up in four words from Genesis to Revelation, and that's Jesus died for me. If you missed that, you missed it all. I talked to a whole lot of great learned people, and they tell you all this stuff, and that's good, and educated, and that's good, we should be. But I remember being in a convention, a Methodist convention down in South Carolina years ago. They had a line of preachers up there, and they were asking them, what did they think faith meant? And they went on and gave the scriptures and went on and debated and talked and talked. And at the end of the line was a little boy, I guess he's about 7 years old. And they asked him, said, what do you think faith is? And he said, well, I just guess faith is taking God at his word. Now, I've read a lot of books, I've heard a lot of explanation, but that sums it up about as best as I know. Faith is taking God at his word. Whatever he has said in his word, he watches over his word to perform it. And what God ordains, he will sustain. As the ministry goes on, I'm still being able to keep these broadcasts on the air. As when I think things and the finances are getting low, somehow, some way, God sends in what we need. And I'm telling you, what God ordains, he sustains. When he calls you to do something, he'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. Whether it be that you hear the plan of salvation and you're not born again, you've heard it today. You must be born again. Give your heart to Jesus. When Jonah walked up and down the streets, he told the people of Nineveh, who were great wicked people, he said, 40 days and God's going to overthrow this great city. But I can't promise you the other 39 days that Jonah promised them. I can tell you that today is the day of salvation. God is talking to somebody right now. God's dealing with your heart. He's tugging at your heartstrings. Don't turn him away. Give your heart to him. And if you give your heart to the Lord and you want to let me know about it, you can write me. Let me know. If you got a prayer request, write me. And I promise to pray for you. And I ask that you pray for me. Remember that God has everything under control. Some people say he don't, but he does. And the sin and the evil that go on, that's man-made. That's not God-made. And I want to read this one more time. Moses told them, so take heed to yourselves. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget his blessings. Praise him today and worship him. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. God bless you.